Again, I say good day to everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and today I'm continuing studying in the book of Job. Honestly, I didn't begin this study today. I began it about 6 weeks ago. I recorded the first hour. That was the first hour that you just listened to. And after the first hour, I completed that, and all of the electricity went out. And today it's a beautiful spring day. 6 weeks later, the electricity has been restored. And I'm going to jump back into the book of Job. First, I'd like everyone to, take some time, put First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border, and specifically me, Nicholas Arthur, my family, on your prayer list. Remember us in your prayers, all of you righteous out there that have the ear of the Almighty, and pray for us. Pray for this ministry. Pray for the work here, because we do need the prayer. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and read the blog there. Take the articles. If you find an article that interests you, post it. Send it to your friends in email. If you have no money to support First Amendment Radio or to support crosstheborder.org, and when you support either one, you're supporting the same work, basically, because they're my work. Also supporting other programs like Inquisition Update and whatever other programs you hear on First Amendment Radio that we're able to bring to you in the format that we bring them in. So post them on your Facebook, email links to people so they'll visit. Go on the website at firstamendmentradio.com, scroll down, and like First Amendment Radio on the Facebook link there. There are many ways that you can support it without sending money. Of course, we do appreciate money. And I have to say, for our entry into the global Great Depression that is just beginning, if it wasn't for the faithful supporters, the few faithful supporters that send in their support every month, we would probably still not be on the air and providing the programs that we're providing. So I have a special word of thanks for all those regular supporters who support and give unto the Almighty out of obedience to Him and expect nothing in return in this mortal life. They're storing up their treasure in heaven, where moth doth not corrupt, neither can thieves break through and steal. That's the same place that I have my treasure stored. And then where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let's jump back into Job. We got to chapter 4, and I'm just going to back up to the beginning of the chapter since we didn't get very far into it. Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, "If we assay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking?" What he's saying is, man, you know, I can see, Job, that you're in torment and pain. And, you know, I can't keep my mouth shut. I have to say something about this, Job. "Behold, thou hast instructed many." Getting a little insight into the character of Job. And perhaps who exactly these people were. Perhaps they were men that were instructed by Job. In all probability, they were. Job being a teacher of godliness, of righteousness. He says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands." Yeah, that's right. He gave to the poor. He helped those that were weak in their time of need. He taught people how to work and strengthened their hands. "Thy words have upholden him that was falling." Admonition for those in need. instruction for those that were going astray. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Sustenance, whether spiritual or physical, in the time of need, in the time of another's weakness. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. Oh, thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Wow. Here, Job is apparently near death. It's not like when the sickness, when the weakness, when the time comes upon you, you can just, by the will of your mind, turn it away. No, this is the time to get strength from those you strengthen. This is the time to be upholden by them that you helped when they were falling. But he says, now it's come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Of course he's troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Ooh, that's an accusation against Job from his friend Eliphaz. And I know those accusations well. You know, I've been tempted with those. You see people that are downtrodden, suffering horrible things, or perhaps even being persecuted. And people think, well, golly, you know, if they were really righteous, perhaps there's secret sin in their life, and they're paying for that. But what we should be learning here is how much in error we can be, and how we should not be so quick to cast judgment upon other people, to believe in secret sin. You know, the scripture instructs us that we should even avoid the appearance of evil. That's right, to even avoid the appearance of evil. If we do something, you know, it's like to draw a simple illustration. You know, a man takes a woman into his house at night, a single man. Say me, I'm a single man, and a woman comes to stay in my house at night. Now, there's the appearance of evil. Now, it may have happened that this woman knocked on my door and said, I have no place to sleep, and I put her up on my couch or in the spare room. So it was an innocent thing, but it appears evil. But see, now I'm supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. So to avoid the appearance of evil, I would call somebody else, a married couple or somebody, to take this person in, or put them up in a motel, or something like that, to avoid the appearance of evil at any cost, so that no one could even bring a false accusation against me. Now here Eliphaz, he's going, man, you know, Job, you've instructed us, you've instructed many. I can't see any fault in your life. But, wow, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? See, the temptation to accuse this righteous man of secret sin, regardless of the fact that the appearance of evil had always been avoided in his life, so that you couldn't even, you know, bring an accusation against him. Whoever perished being innocent, and where were the righteous cut off? He's looking at Job, man, you're perishing. You're being cut off. There must be a secret sin. You cannot be an innocent man as you appear to be. He continues in verse 8 here, Job chapter 4, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And you know, that's true. I've seen that. You know, there are wicked people who plow iniquity and they sow wickedness, and it's evident in their life. They don't even avoid the appearance of evil. They do it out in the sunshine for everyone to see. They reap the same. A true statement by our man Eliphaz here. But that doesn't apply to Job. Nobody sees him plowing iniquity or sowing wickedness, because he lives by the commandment. He even avoids the appearance of evil, so that no one can bring an accusation against him, the Almighty in him, him proclaiming the righteousness of the Almighty in his life and instructing others. And that's my position in what I do as a witness, as a disciple, as a teacher, whatever seat I sit in and represent the Almighty as his ambassador here on planet Earth. I proclaim his name. I have to avoid even the appearance of evil because I represent him, Job the same. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. That's evident every day. People do it out in the sunshine. They plow iniquity, they sow wickedness, they reap the same. He continues, by the blast of God they perish. By the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. Even the righteous are consumed along with the wicked. When the tsunami comes, when the storms or the plagues or the sickness come, when war comes, the righteous can be taken along with the wicked. The blast of God, I guess you could call it that. The breath of his nostrils, they are consumed. We all die, and we all go to the kingdom we have chosen. That's why I tell people every day, cross the border, the very name of my ministry, cross the border into his kingdom. When your mortality ends, you will go to the kingdom that you have chosen for your life. You have to be there to go there. This ain't pie in the sky when you die doctrine. Like they tell you, oh, you get to go to heaven when you die. You don't say the magic words. Cast the words, the correct spells, spelling, words. You know, say the right words, say the magic words, repeat after me. And no one will ever pluck you out of his hands. And no, yes, they use verses to give these people false assurance. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. That's what it says in the gospel, in the words of the Messiah. They don't go in themselves. They lead you up. The true gospel is this. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And I say it in other words, cross the border into his kingdom. Yeah, how do you do that? Repentance is the key to the kingdom. You repent. You allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth the works of repentance in your life. Then you're in his kingdom. Then you must remain or endure in his kingdom to the end. Then you will be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Eliphaz, let's get back to Job here. In Eliphaz, they that plow iniquity sow wickedness, and sow wickedness reap the same. That happens in this life, and that happens for eternity. By the blast of God they perish, by the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. Eliphaz continuing in his words to Job, he just, I can't hold back anymore, Job. I just have to speak. I mean, I don't want to grieve you any more than you're already grieving. I can see you're in misery. But I have to say these things, Job. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. I stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal men be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Now, of course, this is a voice, this is a vision that Eliphaz is relaying to us here, that he had in the night a spirit pass before him. And now he hears this voice saying, shall mortal men be more just than God? That's a question. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Well, I'd say no, and then I would say no. Behold, he, of course, that is God, put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. As we know the story about the fallen angels, he charged them with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay? Well, that would be us, houses of clay. From dust we came, to dust we shall return, and whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Yes, if his eye is on the sparrow, how much more us? A little misspeaking here by Eliphaz. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. They die whether they have wisdom or not. Yes, our friend Eliphaz, the Temanite here, is having some profound thoughts. Let's continue in Job chapter 5. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? And you don't see the word saints too much in the Old Testament, in the King James. So it kind of piques my interest here at what this word really is. Mine, properly a part of, hence, prepositionally, above, after, among. Really don't get a whole lot there. I guess I'd have to do a word search on the word saints there. It's just an unusual word for the Old Testament, so it piqued my interest. And to which of the saints wilt thou turn? We'll continue on here. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Well, this is more, observations, things that we can observe every day, that Eliphaz here is proclaiming what he has observed in life. He says, dear foolish men, and wrath kills the foolish man. They allow anger to consume them. In other words, envy slayeth the silly one. Yes, I see that every day, unfortunately. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver. Whoso harvests the hungry eateth up. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Through affliction, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. More observations by our good friend Eliphaz. And what is he trying to say to Job? There must be secret sin in your life, Job. There's some unrighteousness in you to bring this upon yourself. I would seek unto God, and unto God I would commit my cause, which doth great things unsearchable and marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. And what I say, a lot of truth here in his observations. Eliphaz seems to be a wise man who has his eyes wide open. And here's a conundrum before him. This very righteous man, Job, in the dust, scraping, unrecognizable in visage, scraping the sores of his flesh with broken pottery. trying to understand this. Why is this happening? What is going on here? Having all of these profound observations, the kind of observations that many of us have in life when we ponder the things that happen to us and to others. I have to admit, I may have said the same things to Job, because all of us that, you know, are the righteous, of course, by the blood of Messiah, by his imputed righteousness, you know, we were taught by somebody. We learned from somebody. Somebody planted a seed. Others came along and watered it, or the word of God itself. And we learned. Here Eliphaz, one of Job's students, now sitting before him, somewhat bewildered. He continues, "They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. Yes, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong." That's verse 13, verse 14. "They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night." They're blind. "But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth." Well, we're going into a break here. We'll be back after some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.